Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing well.
Trying to get this thing set up.
Yeah, you're doing well.
Awesome.
Yeah, isn't this great?
Yes, it is. Fantastic.
Yeah. So, Angela, this is my brother and his wife, Alan and Sherry in Alberta. This is Angela from our church.
Hi.
From the Great White North.
What happened?
Yeah. Gosh, this is early in the morning for you guys.
Yes, it is. It's 10 to 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's before breakfast now.
Okay, something just happened.
What's the matter, Angela?
I can't see you guys.
Do you have your... Oh. I don't.
The TV thing.
Oh, there we go.
You got it?
I adjusted the volume and then you guys were gone.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeffrey.
Good morning, Jeff.
There we go.
Looks like Sean.
Yeah. Morning, Jeff.
Morning.
Alan and Sherry. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
Morning.
I think Elizabeth can hear us and see us, but we can't hear or see her.
I want to close my dining room door.
Okay. Yeah. So Jeff's taking advantage of the beautiful outside.
Absolutely.
Green.
Yeah.
And Jeff, this is my brother Alan and his wife Sherry in Alberta.
Hello.
Good morning.
I would sit outside, but it's too cold.
So we'll all pop in here one at a time, I guess.
Yep. I have a cup of deer hanging out down in the basin right here. If I could turn the computer to show you guys, I would, but you can barely pick them out.
Yeah. Hey, Liz.
Good morning, Liz.
Hi, good morning.
You're enjoying your outside as well?
Excuse me?
You're enjoying the outside as well?
Yes, yes. I decided to come out this morning. It's gorgeous out.
It is, yeah.
Hi, Amelia.
Good morning, Amelia.
Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
I hear the birds singing.
Yep.
Yep.
It's one nice thing about, because we're by the water, we have a lot of birds.
Nice.
Morning, Sue.
Morning, Sue. I like your hat, Sue.
There we go. I just had to get my video on and all that sort of stuff. Hi, Liz.
Hi.
Look, it's Alan and Sherry out in Canada. Yay. Hi, Angela.
Hi, Sam.
Hi, Mr. Delzer.
Good morning.
Hi, Amelia. And Elizabeth, that's the big E down here. She's on. She sees all of us and she hears everything we're saying. She's a friend of mine.
Okay.
And but she can't show her face or something like that. But someday we'll make it happen. So yeah. Hi, Pammy.
Birds. Can you hear the birds?
No.
Do you hear the birds out there?
Yeah, I hear the birds.
That's great. Morning, Tammy.
Good morning.
What was that?
That was Stephen Jr.
Oh.
I closed the dining room door, but you can still hear him.
Alan and Sherry Freeman are real. They're the real pioneers of this group because they are up in the hinterland. It is beautiful up there, but it is. What's the temp up there, you guys?
It's cold. I don't know what it is. Just a minute, I'll let you know.
She's gonna look. So.
-12.
Say it again.
-12.
-12.
Okay. So
-12 Celsius. So whatever that is Fahrenheit.
Oh, like oh,
what is yeah, Fahrenheit? Like,
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Somebody will look that up. It's below 32 though, right?
It's cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever experienced that kind of temperature. Wow.
We have long, long periods of that temperature and cold.
Yeah.
That's only 10 degrees Fahrenheit.
10 Fahrenheit. Whoo!
That's pretty warm.
Wow, it's 60 Fahrenheit here. So.
It's short sleeve weather anyway.
Short sleeve weather.
In the house.
For you. There's Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Good morning, Carol.
Hello, good morning. Yeah. How are you all?
We're doing really well.
Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day.
Same to you.
Thank you. Yeah. And Keithy's getting on here. Yeah. And Jeff went for a warm up for his coffee.
I'm back.
Yay. You did go for a warm up for coffee, didn't you?
I did, yes.
Do you want me to get one of the little tables?
Okay. So is somebody going to record the message and everything this week? Do we have that in order?
It's happening.
It's happening. Great. Cool.
It's getting recorded to the cloud.
Whatever that means. Ah. Ooh. Hi, Esme.
Say hi.
Hi.
Say hi.
Everyone seems frozen.
There's
McDonald's.
McDonald's from
North Carolina in the vehicle as the.
Easter service in a car. That is way cool, huh?
Oh, yeah.
They're on a mercy mission.
Yes, they are.
Yes.
Yeah. They run out of toilet paper and masks.
Toilet paper and masks. There you go. Morning, Keith.
Hi. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
There we go.
You guys on two separate computers today, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is what happens when you've been cooped up in the house for 3 weeks. Yeah. So, yes. Carol, you're not the furthest north this morning. My brother Alan and his wife Sherry are joining us from northern Alberta. So, where it's 10 degrees Fahrenheit.
Hello.
Carol's in Maine. So.
Oh, okay.
So she has been our northernmost, but then you guys win the prize this morning.
Okay.
Oh, look at that nice blue sky.
Yeah. Ah. But we have sun.
Yeah, it looks like you guys have sun up there.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little bit, yeah.
just not warm yet.
Yeah, well, it's only April.
Oh, maybe clean off the table.
What?
Clean off the table.
Oh, stop. You clean off the table.
I can't.
I don't know why, but I keep losing everybody.
Oh, no.
You mean audio?
No, visual. It's like it goes away and then it comes back.
Oh, there's
Carol. Oh. Mom says, or Gar says, to put your glasses on.
I'll have words with Garth later.
Hey, Alan and Sherry, this is a rough crowd down here.
You hear that? Yeah.
Yeah. So you're used to it, right?
Yeah, we're used to that.
Oh, look at
them, Smiths.
Yep. We got Brian and Joan Anderson. We have Patrick and Kimberly Smith. Yay! Hi.
Hi. Yay.
Hey.
Oh, what a treat. This is awesome.
Yes, it is.
Happy Easter, all.
He is risen
indeed.
Yay!
All right.
Okay.
I know we are expecting Hope. Hope, get her. So she'll eventually get herself on. But that's fine.
I forget who is supposed to bring the treats today.
You are.
I think that was you guys. It's a little difficult sharing treats like this, but.
Yes.
Oh, well.
And we'd love to invite all you guys over for turkey that's in the oven, but.
Okay.
Well.
John,
we're on our way.
That was mean.
Sorry. Carol, are we back on yet for you?
It says my internet connection is unstable.
Oh, dear.
So I'll just make the best of it. It may be just the area. We've had a lot of outages here from a very bad storm we got the other day, so that may be part of it.
Kimberly, can you hear us?
Yep.
Okay. Yes, we can hear you just fine.
Okay, great. Okay. And somebody else is connecting here, I saw. Oh, Larry Poole.
He's coming.
Hello.
Hi, Larry.
I hear him. Hey, Larry.
I don't have my makeup on yet.
It's good.
That's good.
Hey, there's a bald guy right there. Who's that? That's our teacher for the day.
Uh-huh.
At least he's not wearing that. At least he's not wearing that hat rubbing in who won the World Series.
No.
Oh, no. There it is.
Crowd. Yeah, and for those of you who joined, I think Brian and Joan and Patrick and Kimberly, the Alan and Sherry, that's my brother and his wife from Northern Alberta joining us this morning.
Welcome. Are these the ones that we were afraid were sick with the virus, or was that okay? Wow, so glad you're okay.
Yes. Wow. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. So you're feeling good, both of you, at this point?
Yes, we are.
Awesome.
We were communicating with our son up in Minnesota and calling it the frozen north, but doesn't hold a candle to Alberta.
Yeah, we just
or Maine. Yeah.
We just connected with their temperature. Alan and Sherry have 10 degrees this morning.
Okay.
Yeah. Nope. I'll pass.
Heat wave.
Probably yeah. From Massachusetts, she gets it a little bit.
Aren't they on the Celsius system?
Yes, we
so that's
are.
That's not too bad.
It's minus 12 Celsius.
So I see Hope is joining us.
Yay!
It says Endurance, that's her name, so.
Yes. Great. And yeah. Elizabeth.
Yeah, Elizabeth is there. We're happy to
have Elizabeth.
Hello, Elizabeth.
She can hear and see us, but we can't hear or see her, so.
Okay.
That was her in the car. It's funny.
How are you feeling, Patrick? You coming around?
I'm alive. Yeah, no, I'm feeling pretty good.
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 He was in the ER last Sunday morning. Complications of the anemia. He has a thrombosis, so.
Whoa.
Yeah, but that's where we were. That's where he was last Sunday morning. Palm Sunday was in the, he was in the ER.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Well, that's
alone in the ER. That's how it has to go nowadays.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to stay with them, so that was kind of new for us. So.
Right, that's right. Oh, yes, we're glad you're alive. Yes, absolutely. Wow. And Bob and Celia from France. They're with us again this
morning.
Week.
Morning, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi. So good to see you again. Happy Easter.
Yes.
Jizzle.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. I see Keith and Tammy are social distancing.
Yeah. All right.
I think Dara and Anna are just clicking in.
Oh, good.
Oh, there they are.
Hey, guys.
Where are
you? Hi, family.
I think Dara's wearing a tie. Is Dara wearing a tie this morning? That's awesome. I was going to do that, but I thought that'd be overkill. So.
The thought flashed through my mind.
On its way through. There you go. Yeah. Okay, well, why don't we kind of get started? So, Horace, let's pull this crew together as maybe some others are going to join us.
You know, help me with that.
Well, good morning, you beautiful people.
Morning.
Good morning.
Or all you beautiful people, I should have said, but it's the same. So it's a beautiful day here in our neighborhood. Won't you be my neighbor?
Sure.
I know, I'm interesting. Well, let's pray.
Good idea.
Father, we just thank you that this is the day that we celebrate your resurrection. Death could not hold you. You overcame death. And now we are living in our resurrected life that you have given to us because you loved us. You loved us from the day you established yourself and established the world here. So Father, we just are here to just give you praise and glory.
Yes.
And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Now, one public service announcement to be made here is when Don starts the preaching, or Keith does the preaching, or when the girls start presenting their little presentations, which will come up soon. I think let's just do it when Don starts teaching, or when Keith starts teaching, to mute yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to know. Go for it, Sue.
You're on mute, Sue.
Sue, you're on mute.
I'm looking. Hope is one of our presenters, Endurance, here, and I don't see her. She's going to need to show her something. So you know what we'll do? We'll go ahead and I'll start just to introduce it. I'll go ahead and have Liz present, and then I just got a text from Hope, and she's trying to figure all this out, okay? So if Keith needs to do the sermon and then we'll come back to Hope, we can do that. I don't want to rush her trying to get it all together here. So when we were thinking about our Easter service, everyone, we had the idea of adding a visual component to it for our time together. And the creative arts, of course, are all of God's domain. I have fond memories of doing creative arts at there in France with Bob and Celia, and our time together was so much fun. And the creative arts are God's domain, and he's the great artist. And because we're made in his image, we are able to express creatively as well. In music and painting and sculpturing and any multimedia photography, poetry, dance, just all of that, and it's great. Romans 11:36 says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things." And of course, this certainly pertains to the arts. And it's wonderful when he is our focal point. It becomes, when we're expressing ourselves creatively, that becomes worship to him and also ministry to the body of Christ. So we have a lot of artists in our fellowship, and we've asked Liz Poole and Hope Gibbons to come today and to share their work. We contacted them a couple weeks ago and just wanted them to be able to share. So anyway, I'm going to have Liz start us off. And Liz, thanks, and Hope, thanks so much for just seeking the Lord and getting your ideas and being willing to share with us today. We really appreciate it. So let's start with Liz.
Okay. Hi, guys. Hello, everyone. So I have a little script so I don't ramble, but I'm just going to start reading it. Imagine the first moment you surrendered to the Lord. The stillness, the relief, the peace, the belief that he would for you, rescued, made anew, receiving forgiveness and pure love. Oops. Sorry. Okay. This painting depicts the way that I feel God sees us, his children, lovingly caressing our cheeks, wiping away our tears, coming to our rescue. Living with the promise of God's presence gives me emotional and mental health. And then I have a couple of scriptures that inspired me as well. The first one is Isaiah 25, verse 8. And it says, "He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He will remove forever all insults and mockery against his land and people. The Lord has spoken." And then Revelation 21, verse 4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Excuse me. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And that's all that I have.
Thank you. That is wonderful, Liz. Thank you so much. That is beautiful. Yes, bravo. I'm looking at that and I'm holding back tears. Okay. Thank you so much. So let's go to Hope. It's endurance, and you'll have to unmute yourself there. Hope, there you go.
Hey everyone, good morning. That was really beautiful, Liz.
Sure was.
Thank you for sharing that. So unlike Liz, I do not have a script, and I'm going to try not to ramble, but I figured for me it's just easier to talk from the heart, so it doesn't feel like as forced, just personally for me. So when Sue had asked me to make a piece of art for the service this week, I had a couple different ideas, and I tried to make something that fit that theme for new life and resurrection. And what I ended up making, like, for me, it felt, in the beginning, it felt like more genuine, but like as I continued with it, it felt like I was kind of trying to fit it into a theme, fit it into like a box. So I actually, and Sue and I talked about this, actually decided to share something that I made a few months back, unprompted, that just actually like just came from my heart, felt inspired. And anyway, I think some of you guys have seen this because I shared it on Facebook recently. And I was going to see, I have a picture of it. I don't know if I can do this, the share screen, but I might try to do that. Yeah. You guys can let me know if you see. Do you see my screen?
It says you started screen share. There it is.
There it is.
So that's my Phoenix picture. And this started out, I had been thinking about the lyrics from a song that we sing together, and that line that says, "Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise." And that had meant a lot to me, and I was just going over that in my head a lot. So I started with the, down at the bottom, like the gray and the ashiness, and then the light coming down, like the light shining into the darkness, to represent that. And actually, as I made it, I felt like it was kind of being expressed as two different things, that there was this separateness there. And, you know, the contrast of light and dark together, like the dark really burns out the light, right? But for me, it felt like two separate things. And as I continued with it, I felt like this movement and me to kind of blend it more together. And the ways that I have conceptualized of God, and I think the way that some of us think sometimes about us as being separate from God, you know, he's up there, we're down here, and like there's this separation, right? But to me, in working through that idea, coming to more of an understanding of God is present in all and with us, that's, you know, in the message of Christ coming as Emmanuel, God with us, he's with us. He came and became like us as a human, and as the Spirit moves in all things. So I have a few verses that have spoken to me on that concept. But I'm not always so great with references. okay. But from Romans 11:36, says that from him and through him and for him are all things. Another reference, again, I don't have the exact one, but that in him we live and move and we have our being. Jesus also prayed to the Father that his disciples and those who come after would know that he is in the Father as the Father is in him and as they are in him all together as one. So, and for me on a personal level, this was symbolic. You know, the phoenix represents this bird that in some cultures has been used throughout history to represent this idea of eternity, eternal life, the death and resurrection. This bird burns itself up or it dies in the fire, and then it rises up from the ashes in a burst of flame. And it's not universally, like, solely a Christian symbol. It's been used throughout different cultures. But I do think that really speaks to this common human longing for new life, for resurrection. And not just, like, in terms of eternal life, but also in our lives here on the earth, like for fresh starts and, you know, moving through painful times and coming out of that renewed. And for me, this also represents, like, is the picture of Christ to me, that idea of rising up from the grave and, like, bursting up out of death, out of the ashes. And for me personally, this idea of, you know, coming out of the darkness and the hard times and in some ways that being almost more alive than the previous. And for me personally, as I work through some of, like, my past, as I said, like my past ways of thinking about God and relating to God and thinking about myself, I realize that a lot of that's coming from, like, a place of woundedness. And as I begin to dig deep into that and really work through some of those things, coming out of that, like, it feels like new life and seeing God from a wider perspective.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you guys for letting me share this with you.
Thank you. Bravo. Yes. Bravo. Yay. Can we, there we go. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Hope. Really appreciate that. Both you and Liz, thank you so much for really putting your heart into it. And I'm hoping somehow or another we can see those again. I'm not sure how to do that, but thank you so much. I'm going to send it back to Horace or Keith.
Horace.
Hello, Keith. What do you want to talk about today? Oh, my daughter's logging on, Clarissa. Do I introduce you? And ladies and gentlemen, beautiful people.
No,
our sermon for today will be from Keith Coughlin.
No, no. Did you have any announcements at all? Since we do that.
Am I muted?
No, not even.
No?
I thought the, that's right. We went out of sequence, didn't we? Yeah, I got kind of confused. There is no announcements today. It's okay. The sun is shining and we're on a deck. Unless anyone else has anything to say, but that's okay. We'll save it to the end.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. This is new. I'm really glad that Hope and Liz, that you were able to share with us your creativity, your artwork. And it does speak. It speaks to all of us. And the idea of the Father wiping away our tears and this phoenix rising out from the ashes
that have been, that are our lives, and we're being renewed day by day. And tears come up from time to time, and he's there to wipe them away. And we've heard that where he collects our tears in a bottle. He saves them because they're precious to him. And 2 weeks ago, I was thinking about Easter Sunday, thinking about the resurrection. And it was so fitting that last week, Don talked about the end and the beginning, the first and the last. And this idea of a story. And for me, it was this idea that we know the end of the story. We know why Jesus came. We know why he lived among his own creation. We know why he suffered and died and was raised again. But there's still more to it. And the end hasn't yet come. Though he said it is finished, the end still hasn't come. And we're living out that story right now. So I want to share a couple of things with you. The cross, we know that image of the cross, the one piece going down and the one piece going across, and how to me that means heaven breaking through. Heaven broke through into earth. The kingdom of God broke through into the kingdom of man. And that purpose was to make everything right. There was a sacrifice that was provided that's symbolic of Abraham and his son Isaac. That God provided a lamb. Jesus Christ is the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Everything in God's creation has been designed with a purpose. There's nothing around us that doesn't serve a purpose and doesn't operate the way that it was intended to. But because we live in a and heartache, death, but still it is his creation. And in this time of resurrection, looking at Easter, he's a God that made everything right. Remember, there was a first sacrifice in the Garden of Eden after the fall, right? There was a first sacrifice when God provided the skins for Adam and Eve that they could cover their nakedness. So I'm going to read some of this to you that I wrote in. Then we'll go through some scripture from Romans and take a look at that briefly, hopefully. Yeah, Brian, briefly. From blessed be the one to save us, to give us Barabbas, to crucify him, to he is risen. In just one short week, 1 week in the life of Jews that was supposed to be a holy observance, a holy week, a feast of God, the Passover. In just one short week, many went from shouting Jesus' name, proclaiming him, rightfully so, as the son of David, who had come in the name of the Lord, shouting for his execution, demanding that he be crucified. Very often, on one day we can be all lovey-dovey and praising God and just all happy and life is so good, and then in another instant, why is everything happening? Why is everybody coming down on me? Why this suffering? Why this pain? Why this agony? And then again, the next day, wow, I can't believe this is beautiful. Wow, this is fantastic. Jesus knew what it was like to be lifted up, to be praised, to be ushered in on that donkey. He knew who he was, but then he also heard the rejection, the abandonment. People that had walked with him for those 3.5 years who turned their back on him. So in keeping with what Don talked about last week, we know that there is a beginning of the story as well as an end. We already know the end, or at least understand that there is an end of the story. But there still is some story left to tell. After the death, after the burial, after the 3 days,
after all of that which culminated in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. That week before, during that Palm Sunday, the crowd of people had been shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Many of us know Hosanna means help us or save us. Now, whether they were just shouting that out because it was something you do when a king is put in place, when there's a coronation, and they would say that to any king, I don't know. I didn't take the time to look at that. But Hosanna means help us or save us. His very name, Jesus, means to rescue or to deliver. He is the Savior. He is the deliverer. With all of this, we still haven't reached the end of the story. Jesus stayed around for 40 days following the resurrection. We know that's significant. There's a lot of 40s in the Bible, the 40 years in the wilderness, Jesus spending 40 days being in the wilderness and then being tempted by the devil. Jesus stayed around for 40 days following the resurrection, appearing to many people who didn't recognize him. They suspected him to be the gardener or just a random passerby. He spent time teaching and laying out his orders to his disciples. And then, on that 40th day, he told them to hang around Jerusalem until they witnessed the coming of the Holy Spirit on what had been called the Feast of Weeks in Hebrew, Shavuot, or as it is more commonly referred to in Christianity as Pentecost. Jesus spent 40 days after his resurrection. And this is where our part of the story comes in. And I know we're jumping ahead, but it's good at this time so that we understand why he rose from the dead. Yes, it was to perform this great miracle, but it was also to set in motion God's new creation, to make everything that had gone wrong in the garden, to make it right, to bring in reconciliation, to bring us into a place as humanity, into a right standing, right relationship with God. And, well, I ain't there yet, but I think we're moving in that direction. All of us, we make those steps forward, we take that step back, steps forward, a step back, but we're still making forward progress. But the Feast of Weeks in Hebrew Shavuot, or is more commonly referred to in Christianity as Pentecost. Penta meaning five, as in the pentagram, the five-pointed star. Shavuot means a week of weeks, or 7 weeks. Those 7 weeks turn out to what? 40 days. 49 days. I know math. I can figure it out in my head. 49 days. But Pentecost refers to 50, to the 50th day. And that's the Feast of First Fruits. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and on. And this is going to be primarily just reading, as I've been doing. But I want you to hear these verses that I share and think about God's creation. Think about how he made you and me. Understand and know that we were made for a purpose, that he had a plan for us as we were being knit together. He still has a plan for us. Jesus Christ was the first fruits from the grave, the second Adam, the do-over, the only begotten of God. Yes, he made Adam with his very hands, but Jesus Christ was made in a different way. He is the image of the invisible God. And we, too, have been created in his image. And we are all, being in his image, we are all creators. And a lot of times we think of creation, creators, we may think of the artwork, like we saw, that Liz and Hope shared with us. Or, as Sue mentioned, we think of sculpture or poems or music, all these different things. But in every aspect, And I don't have the list here. Don probably knows them all by heart. But in everything within the Enneagram, whatever it is, if you're an admin or an empath or a challenger, there is creativity
in all of us. And I think of Tammy, who has tried in so many different ways to, she has painted little plaster sculptures. She's made Christmas decorations. She's crocheted. She's sewn. She's done different things. And sometimes, I mean, like myself, maybe some of us, we get a little bit frustrated because what we see in our mind, we're not actually able to make. We see a recipe or we see a pattern and we try to do it and it never comes out. You know, you see the life hacks or you see the nice little things that are put on Pinterest or Instagram or any of the blogs that we follow. And it's like, you can make this too. And it never turns out. You know, have you tried to, bake a cake or a pie? It's kind of like when you go to a restaurant and they've got the beautiful pictures in the menu. And when it comes to your table, very rarely does it ever look like the picture on the menu. But Tammy's creativity comes in working with numbers. I'm not saying she does creative bookkeeping, if you know what I mean, but she's creative in being able to solve problems. She's creative when it comes to putting together a filing system. The jobs that she's had through her years of going in to work in an office, she has fixed a lot of filing systems. And I think of one of the shows that I used to love to watch on TV was MASH, the hospital there in Korea during the police action during the conflict between North and South in Korea. And in this one particular episode, there a little child had wandered into a minefield. And maybe you remember this, but a little child had run into a minefield that was close to where the hospital had just been put up, where they had built this mobile hospital. And they had a map of the minefield. The colonel and the people in leadership there at the hospital had a map of the minefield. And so they went to Radar, the company clerk, and said, "Where's the map of the minefield? We need to be able to go in there and get this child." Trapper John had run after the child and was there and was holding her. "Don't move, don't move. There are mines all around you. We don't know where they are." So Radar was back there frantically looking for it. And it's like, "Well, where is it? Where is it?" They're looking under M for maps, for minefield. They're looking, and Radar said, "No, they're under B for boom." The point is that he had his own creative filing system, but it didn't work for everybody. Tammy comes in and she's creative with the filing system that can work for everyone. Logically, she's one of those admin kind of people, thinking everything through logically and in order, step by step, one after the other. So in Romans chapter 8, this is meant to encourage us, to build us up, for us to focus on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who is making us new, who has made a new creation. If we are in Christ, we're a new creation, though we don't always look like that or feel like that. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 14. "The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned. For as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, 'Beloved Father.'" Just put that image that Liz painted of the Father's hand taking the tears and wiping them away. "And you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us," think of hope in that phoenix, "as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, 'Beloved Father.' For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, 'You are God's beloved child.'" let him whisper the reason that Jesus went to the cross, spent 3 days in the tomb, preaching the gospel to those that were captive. The reason why he was resurrected was to bring new life and to make us once again, all of humanity, the children of God. You are God's beloved child. Verse 17 says, and since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his treasures. God doesn't call the qualified, right? He qualifies the called. And since we are his true children, we qualify to share all of his treasures, for indeed we are heirs of God himself. Everything that he has for us, he qualified us to receive. Everything. What he has for us. And since we are joined to Christ, everything that he has for us, we are qualified to receive because we are his children. We are his beloved children. We will experience being co-glorified with him, provided that we accept his sufferings as our own. And what that means is, remember, he was a man acquainted with grief. He went through things so that he could experience what it was like to be fully man, even as he was fully God. He knows what it's like. So he shared in our sufferings, and now we share in his. We begin to understand what real suffering is when we look to the cross, when we look to his beating and his scourging, the crown of thorns, everything that Jesus went through, the pierced hands and feet, everything that he went through, the pain of being rejected when his own father turned his back on him. This one who had said, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He knew what it felt like to go through stuff that we go through. So now we share in his sufferings. And he will never leave us and never forsake us because he knows how bad that feels. He knows how destructive that can be to a person, to their soul. Provided that we accept his sufferings as our own. Verse 18, I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. Think about that. I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing. What is less than nothing? There was a movie that came out in the early 1980s with Robert Downey Jr. And his life began to imitate art. Because in that movie, he played a young man that was addicted to cocaine. And he became less than zero. He had a life that was promising. He had a life that was moving forward. He had a life where everything was in the palm of his hand. But he turned to cocaine and it destroyed him. And it made him less than zero. And that pretty much happened in his real life for a long time. But then he rose from the ashes. His career was reborn. And it's a story of redemption in the real world for him. I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of the glory that is about to be unveiled within us. It's hard to imagine, it's hard to comprehend for me that what we endure now, whatever pain, whatever sorrow, whatever sadness, physically, emotionally, mentally, things from our past, things from our present, things that we endure, how can we look at them and say, oh, that's less than nothing compared to this? And I share this a lot. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. There is joy available to us now, and there is joy coming. So for that, we endure this temporary, light affliction. Being laid up in a hospital bed alone, which we are not accustomed to. being locked away and sheltered in our own room because we can't go out, we can't receive visitors. For many people, that's even more painful, having to be separated from humanity. And we are all creatures of being social, being around others. And so this is something that is very painful for a great number of people. But some of us like it. The entire universe, this is verse 19, the entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe. I think of being a kid and going to a parade and being very short and not being able to see past or over or around the crowds. Think of Zacchaeus, who was there when Jesus was coming into town and there was a great crowd, a great throng, and he tried to see him. And he couldn't, so he had to climb up. Remember, Zacchaeus was a very, very short man. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe just to catch a glimpse of the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. Think back when we were made, when he first made man and woman in the garden. He looked and he said, "It is good. It is very good." The unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. Verse 24, against its will, the universe itself has had to endure empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. For this is the hope of our salvation. But hope means that we must trust and wait for what is still unseen. For why would we need to hope for something we already have? Oh, I hope I get a car when we already have one. I hope I get a place to live when we already have one. I hope I have dinner, even though we know there's something in the fridge and we're going to have dinner. No matter what it is, some of us are going to be fortunate enough to have turkey. And the whole house probably smells of turkey and all of the stuff that goes along with a traditional Thanksgiving or Easter meal. Verse 25, so because our hope is set on what is yet to be seen, we patiently keep on waiting for its fulfillment. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Mom, can I get later? Mom, can I get later? Mom, can I get later? We wait patiently. We patiently keep on waiting for its fulfillment. And in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. He takes hold of us. When, I know this will speak to a couple of us, when we see a child who we love turn away, even for a brief period of time, and they become agnostic or atheist, or they just turn to the world and become humanist in some capacity. Things that we know don't necessarily line up with the teachings of the Bible, the teachings of Jesus. We ache, but we have to remember that the Holy Spirit takes hold of us. He's taken hold of the ones we fear have been lost. He's taken hold of the ones that we fear can't be brought back into the fold. And remember, when one of his sheep wanders away, what does he do? He leaves the 99, he goes after that one. So our job is to keep on praying for those who have turned away. Not to write them off, not to count them as gone, but to pray for them. And know that the Father understands how we feel, because he takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. He takes hold of us in our human frailty. He doesn't take hold of us in our strength. He takes hold of us in our weakness. because his strength is made perfect in our weakness. He makes up for what we lack. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for. But the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf. Think about that. How many times have you been asked, or will someone pray? Who wants to pray? And very often, we all will just shrink back, hoping someone else will volunteer. Don't call on me to pray. I don't want to pray. Why? Because we don't think we're going to be eloquent enough. We don't know what to say. We don't want to sound redundant. We don't want to sound over-religious. Oh, Father God, we don't know how to pray. But the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf. And I love this section there in the Passion Translation when he says, the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede. He's not just interceding on our behalf. He's going above and beyond. He is super interceding on our behalf. He is fervently, fervently coming after us, fervently saying, let me strengthen you. Let me raise you up. Pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. Have you been at a funeral, or perhaps you've seen a funeral or even a Hollywood representation of a funeral service in a Middle Eastern nation, or you've seen where the men with the telegram come to the mother and the father in the home after their son or daughter has been killed in action, and just the breaking down and falling to the knees and just the moaning and the crying out. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us, for those who have wandered away. He breaks down and he weeps and he moans and groans. Something too deep even for him for words. Because the Holy Spirit, God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings, yet he also understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, his holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. He's calling us into perfect harmony for his plans and our destiny. Jesus hung around with his disciples for those 40 days after his resurrection. He appeared to many. He appeared to some who didn't even recognize him. Remember in the garden outside the tomb when the two women saw him, Mary and the other Mary, and they thought he was the gardener? They didn't recognize him until afterward. That was Jesus. And then what did they do? They ran and told. The disciples were cowering in fear. They didn't know what to do. The one that they had been following was now dead and was in a tomb. They didn't know what to do. And as they were talking and wondering and making plans and how are we going to get through this? What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? We got to run. They're going to come and get us just like they did him. Jesus walked through the wall and they thought he was just a ghost. Until Jesus went over there to Thomas. And Thomas had said this before, well, I'm not going to believe that he's alive until I put my finger in the holes in his hand and thrust my fist in his side. Without saying much of anything, Jesus said, Thomas, come here. Put your finger in my hand. Put your fist in my side. And Thomas dropped, my Lord and my God. He's calling us into perfect harmony with his plan and our destiny. The reason we were made, the original plan, like he talked to Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not plans for harm. No matter what our situation is right now, he still has plans to prosper us. Whether it's through Skype or Zoom or Google messaging or whatever other platform that we may be using to communicate with one another, or through various forms of social media, or if we are able to go out to go to the pharmacy or to go get some groceries, those perishable things, hoping that they have what we need, or at least some kind of a substitute. Real turkey, but not tofurkey, unless you're into that sort of thing. Anyway, so we, in verse 28, so we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan, bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his designed purpose. For he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his Son. This means the Son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him, having determined our destiny ahead of time. He called us to himself and transferred his perfect righteousness to everyone he called, not just to his favorites. We joke about that and, oh yeah, well, I'm his favorite. But he loves us all. He loves us all equally. No one's better than anyone else. He has transferred his perfect righteousness to everyone he's called. And every single one of you I know, he's called. We may not know each other as intimately as we know someone else. Some of us in our church know each other differently or better than we know others in our little church. But I know that he's called each and every one of us to a purpose. And those who possess his perfect righteousness, he co-glorified with his Son. Everything. If we are in Christ, we are a new creation. We've been reconciled to God. We've been made new. After yesterday, I sure don't feel new. Tammy and I spent some time downsizing and moving things out of a storage unit that we've had for a few years and went to another unit for less money and organized everything so that I can use this time wisely and toss a bunch of stuff that we don't need. So my body doesn't feel like I've been made new. So what does all this mean as we close up? So what does all this mean? If God has determined to stand with us, tell me, who then could ever stand against us? For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. And since God freely offered him up as the sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold anything else he has to give. For who then would dare to accuse those whom God has chosen and loved to be his? God himself is the judge who has issued his final verdict over them, not guilty. I am not Holy Spirit. I cannot judge anyone. Well, I should not judge anyone. He, Holy Spirit, is the one. God himself is the judge who has issued his final verdict over his kids. And that verdict is not guilty. I don't have to fear because his verdict over me is not guilty. Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one, for he gave his life for us. And even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted, and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he condemn us, since he is continually praying for our triumph? He's cheering us on. Go, go. You can do it. You've got this. Go. Keep moving. Keep going forward. Encouraging us. Who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love toward us. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love.
What about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? No, for they are all impotent to hinder omnipotent love. All of those things are impotent to hinder omnipotent love, even though it is written, all day long we face death, threats for your sake. All day long we face death threats for your sake. We are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Yet even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all, for God has made us to be more than conquerors and has demonstrated his love. Demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. So now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I am convinced. I am convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, or dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or our future circumstances that can weaken his love. That word, I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles, and all the rest. I have to look that up, convinced. Because just, you know, how I think when I see a word and I'm not sure, but I think that that's related to invincibility. Invincible. I think. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death. Meaning that Paul had come to a place where his faith could not be challenged in these things. That his love could triumph over death. His love could triumph over life's troubles. His love over fallen angels or dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. In the last verse, verse 39, there is no power above us or beneath us. No power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. Nothing can distance us from God's passionate love. And if we've seen the passion of the Christ, whether we were able to see it a few times or even just sit through it one time, we have that representation of seeing even just a glimpse of what it must have been like for Jesus to go through what he did at the crucifixion, during the trial, all those times, everything he went through. His passion, his great love for us. The joy knowing what his blood was going to buy. Knowing what his willing sacrifice as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Knowing to bring us into a right relationship with the Father. That all of creation was going to be set right. And it's being set right. But you and I still have a lot of work to do. Even in our situation that we may find us in right now. We have work to do. We have to share our hope and our faith. We have to share this invincible faith that we have of God's love being able to deliver us in all these things. Yet we have to remember also what Paul said. When we're challenged with finality, we are grateful that Patrick is still with us. My older brother. But we have to also keep in mind that to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. We're grateful that Don's family in Alberta are still with us. They've come through this virus. Father, we thank you for Jesus' willing sacrifice and that you, like Abraham, were willing to follow your own, what you had put it out there for Abraham to do. You did it yourself. You offered your only son
your own flesh and blood. You offered him as a sacrifice. Your son will forever be the Lamb of God who sits at the right hand of the Father. Could we at this most unusual Resurrection Sunday for us? Many of us, we have experience going to great Easter celebrations with the sunrise service out in Yorktown, along the waters of the York River. We have times that we remember going to great pageants, Easter plays, Easter productions, or the ones that were just really cute with the kids doing their little Easter skits, songs, and the like. But this is different. We are celebrating as shut-ins, separated, but we are not separated with God's love. Nothing can separate us from that. Everything is omnipotent or impotent against his omnipotent love, his powerful love, his love that is reckless, that goes up mountains, that kicks through walls, that searches high and low, and is never tiring, even as he goes after his lost little lambs. Some of our neighbors here, one family, probably about 8 o'clock this morning, had taken their little girls outside, and they must have gotten up quite early. I think the dad did it, I'm not sure. But they had their own little private Easter egg hunt out here on the property. And Tammy came and said, look, they're having an Easter egg hunt. So we find we make do where we are, you know? We find the best of the situation. We make the most of every opportunity. And you know those little girls are going to remember that forever, you know, because of mom and dad's love for them. They just wanted them to have a fun time. Just wanted to have a good time this morning. Anyway, Tammy and I miss you all being with you, but this is still good. It's still good for us to be together in this way. And especially because now we are an international church, even more so than we were last week. You know, we've got people in France, in Canada. We have people in different states in the United States. This is just incredible. So this is how we grow. This is a new thing for us. And it helps us to grow. So I just want to say God bless you all. And I hope we can all go home today and glean something from these words from the scripture. So God bless you all. And I guess I'll turn it over to Don or Horace.
Thank you, Keith.
Okay, I'll turn it over to Sue.
I'm just saying thank you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see Brian and Joan doing the little applause over there, and I know Brian is applauding because it's over. Because when I say, "All right, we're almost done," and he just puts his head in his hand and it's like, "No, not yet." Jeff, is that just a still picture? Are you okay? You're there. I saw you move. Okay. Hey, look at that. See, I have to scroll through these things. Oh no, Liz, what's wrong? you're like, oh my gosh. So anyway. Look at these. These two with their cool sunglasses on, too, now. You guys are using the filters? Oh, that's the 3D glasses. Okay. Anyway, where's Horace? All right, well, I'm going to leave the meeting then. Oh, wait, there's a little muffin. I see that a little muffin.
Really, that was really an amazing and encouraging word. Thank you for reading out of Romans 8. That was just, nothing is more powerful, obviously, than God's word, and especially as we're in somewhat of a confined, weird situation. It's just good to be reminded that there is still nothing that's going to stop what God has set in motion. So this was a great time, and seeing the creativity from Liz and from Hope was really, really exciting. And to see all these beautiful faces, you guys are lighting up my entire screen here. And so this is really awesome. So
John, can I ask you something?
Sure.
You have a grand piano behind.
I do.
Ooh. Is that yours?
It is. It's his name is.
I see that. That's so wonderful.
I think it's wonderful too. Yes, I was playing a little earlier this morning, so yeah, it's wonderful. Yes, thank you for noticing. First time in 33 years having a piano, not shabby.
You just had to make sure you weren't like in front of a green screen, with a backdrop behind you.
Oh, right. I hear you can do that, but that's way too techy for me.
Yeah,
I couldn't get it to work on the phone, because that would have been nice. You know, I could have been on Niagara Falls or something. And doing this, I don't know how many of you are doing this on your phone as opposed to a laptop, but doing this on a phone, I have to swipe left and right to see everybody.
Big gallery.
That you can do on the laptop. So this has been, I've had to look at the same couple of faces during this whole time.
But that's I like seeing it on the laptop because you all look like you're on the Brady Bunch. So I'm tempted to say, okay, Angela over there and Tammy down.
I was doing that last week. I was looking up and to the right and trying to be like that. That Brady Bunch. Yeah, that's funny.
Say, Bob and Celia, what news do you have from across the pond there? Anything new since we've seen you last?
I think they're muted.
Nothing much. We're being locked down now for a month. So it's a long time.
I've been making masks.
I'm trying that myself. Yeah, I got to get a different pattern. Trust me, it's not.
it's not easy.
Rubber bands, the elastics. No.
Oh no, mine got elastics. They're sort of padded, but they actually look like something to hold up a hernia.
Oh, man. Do you all have plenty of wine?
Yeah. That was the first thing we went out to buy.
Priorities.
Indeed.
But it's a real pleasure for us to listen to you. It's English, and you know, you talk truth that we can instantly take to our heart. Because when you're listening to a French sermon, it sometimes it's very flowery and it goes on. Not saying that yours doesn't go on, Keith. But, you know, there are many meaty truths that we hear from you in your church that we really appreciate. And it for us, it's refreshing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, all of you.
Well, this is really cool that you guys can be a part. And I don't mean like a part like you're on the other side of the world, but I mean you can be a part of what's going on.
Yeah.
It's cool for us as well.
And, And I could show you, Bob and Celia, we have your picture on our refrigerator and think of you often.
Thank you. Thank you.
Every time I have radishes with someone, I put butter and salt. I know a man. And then I play my little 6 degrees of separation to say, I was one away from Paul McCartney because I know something.
It would be nice also to hear you playing, Don, at some time, perhaps next week.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that works over Zoom, but we could give it a shot. And if it gets too terrible, everyone starts screaming together, like, stop.
Yeah, we'll do this.
All right. Yes. Yeah, I'm just not sure how that all comes across on Zoom, but we can try.
We can make a YouTube video.
Try it out.
Yeah. Done. Try it out now.
Just go back and see what it sounds like. I mean, we've got everybody right here. So just like a hymn or something like that, sweetie.
Hand up.
Just don't play anybody's particular composition.
We'll do the public domain hymns. How's that? Yeah. But last time we tried this, it was really very distorted, and that's why we hesitate. But now that we're all here, let's see what it's like.
Yeah, a YouTube video would be very good.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Just do a measure or two.
Turn it on.
It's a little distorted and a lot of lag, but
it sounded like 1930s radio.
Yes,
it sure did. It was nice though, Don, because we knew the song. To me, you could sing it in your mind because it brought back what we all know and all. So, you know, thank you. That was nice.
In spite of everything. All right, great. Live, actually, it does sound a little better. So,
So about Patrick, can you all make sure we get some updates on, I mean, we didn't know he was in the ER. That's, wow, my goodness, I should have reached out there. But can you give us some updates? Because we really want to track with you guys.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't really, being in the ER now, nobody can visit you. In fact, my wife couldn't even be there. And so that was a little problematic. Also, I just went in because my leg was hurting. And at first I thought, geez, this is just a waste of time. And they're going to be more concerned about people dying and stuff like that. But they said, well, it was good you came in because it was a deep vein thrombosis, wherever the heck that is. And she said it was only 3 days old. And so that was as long as it had been hurting. And so she said he was just in time and they could take care of it. So it's really nothing to worry about. And when I hear people talking about dying, I'm like, was I dying? I didn't know it was dying. I got to say, it was a couple of months ago because I had some, you know, chest pain. But I feel great. I feel better every day. And so thank you for your prayers. But
awesome.
The doctor, I mean, it's been a week now and my leg is not really even hurting anymore. I had to get up and walk around, of course, we all do. But I want to encourage you because when I was there, the doctor or the PA said that she's seeing a lot more DVTs in the last month. And it's because we're at home, people are not, we're used to like walking around and stuff. I mean, I'm thinking about you, Keith, you're probably like always on your feet at work. And so you have to make sure. Now, I'm only speaking to you because you're a young man. You don't have to really wear it yet. But you guys make sure every 20, 30 minutes you get up and take a walk around the house.
because seriously, they're seeing a lot more deep vein thrombosis just because people aren't moving around a lot. And you got to keep your left, especially those of us who are over 50. Mm-hmm. I'm almost 56, so I'm in practically in the grave anyway.
You're a young man.
Oh, come on.
You're a young man.
Very young. Yes.
Yeah, but he's older than me. So.
So our guys up in Alberta, are you guys in contact with the rest of the family these days or?
Yeah. Host parties. Some of the other Zoom things.
Our church is on Zoom too. We have our church service at 10:30.
At 3 o'clock. Did you guys ever get into the new building?
We will be right after this pandemic is over.
Okay.
We're almost ready.
It's ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Get all the moldings on now. Yeah. Trim work is just about all finished.
Oops.
Been a long process, 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys have been building this old chapel. It was empty for a long time and they completely renovated it. And I know they're looking forward, because Easter was when you were planning to have your first major service, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, well, so now we're Zooming.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Carol, you're doing okay up in Maine?
I'm A-okay. The snow is gone.
Yes.
And I've seen a flock of robins, and I'm going to get an emergency shipment of masks from Janice. So I have my groceries delivered. So I just go out in the yard, and I think this afternoon I'm going to drive down to the beach, although I'm not allowed to walk on it. But I'm going to see if my car still starts.
Yeah.
We get about 2 miles or 2 weeks to the gallon on our truck.
2 miles to the gallon.
Two weeks.
About 2 weeks, yeah.
She said 2 miles.
All right.
I don't care if I ever smell the smell of Clorox in my life after that.
Oh. Amen.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. People are signing off. Okay, guys. Happy Easter. Enjoy your afternoon.
Yes, you all too. It was great visiting with you.
It was great seeing you guys.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, Don.
See all your faces.
Don.
Yep.
Thank you. Could I ask you guys to pray for my Aunt Kim before we get off?
Sure.
So she has multiple myeloma and amyloidosis. And the plan originally was she was supposed to do a month of chemo, and then she was supposed to go on to stem cell treatment. But in that time period with the amyloidosis, it damaged her heart to the point where she wasn't considered healthy enough to do the stem cell treatment. And that was her best chance. And she's really declined in the past couple weeks. She was in the ICU over last week. She was getting a special treatment to help her heart function better, because it just wasn't able to pump the fluid and the blood. She was getting a lot of fluid buildup and stuff. They released her from the ICU into hospice care. So she's back at home now. But the doctors say she has at most 6 months to live. And it's really hard right now with not being able to go visit people and stuff. But she is home. Mm-hmm. And when she was in the hospital, she wasn't allowed to have any visitors. But now that she's home, my parents are actually going to go up there today. So they're planning to leave, I think, around 11:30. And I've been working on I was working on this headband for her after Sue taught me how to knit. So I'm trying to finish that up before my parents come to pick it up. Because I wanted to send that up to her. But
anyway, just, I know she wants, you know, she wants to keep living, but they've given her that prognosis, and everyone in the family is praying for healing. And I know we believe that God is capable of that. And also for peace for her during this time. And for the family too, because actually my grandmother just died like a few weeks back. Right. So it's been really hard for like my aunts and uncles and my dad. I know especially one of my aunts is really taking all of this very hard. So.
And this is your dad's sister?
This is my dad's sister, Kim. Yes.
And, yeah. She's in
and it was his mom that just passed a few weeks back. And it, with everything, with the quarantine and stuff, we weren't allowed to have a normal funeral service, which was hard. You know, that was difficult for the family and stuff. And my doctor actually told me, like, I wasn't allowed to go at all.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it was just a hard time to not be able to be with everyone, you know?
Yeah. So let's pray for your Aunt Kim. And at the same time, you know, there are just so many people, especially impacted by this virus, who that we can pray for as well, that are in these desperate situations. And it's a time when family wants to be together and can't, and it's frustrating. So let's definitely be praying here. So let me just close up with that. So Father, we come and we lift this situation before you, Kim and her family, Hope and her dad, and the other aunts and uncles, that you're the one who sees, you're the one who's created her, and there is nothing that can overpower you and your omnipotence, as we've heard this morning. And so we know that you are totally capable of accomplishing what doctors and the medical community are incapable of. And as you do that, Father, we ask that you would bring just a sense of peace and your abiding, your surrounding, your enveloping presence to her where she is at home at this time. And that there would just be great confidence as she waits on you, as she receives love from you in a way that she has probably never ever had to need it before. You surround, you assure, you banish any anxiety and any fear, and you give her great confidence in your love and your surrounding presence to her. At the same time, Father, we do know that there are thousands and thousands of similar situations going on, whether it's from just these normal health type of issues or the virus and whatever. And we just ask that you would intervene there, Father, and you would bring your peace. You're the God of all comfort, and that is your promise, that you will be there and you will provide what no man can provide. Mm-hmm. Yes, that you would do that intervening. And for all our health professionals as well, and the EMTs and hospital personnel and clinics and nursing homes personnel, Father, that you would be their strength, because we keep hearing of these people who are just so exhausted they can hardly go on. And some are so fearful of going home and taking something home to their families that they're sleeping in their cars. And so we ask, Father, that you would be their provision in these days. And especially if this thing continues on for another few weeks or whatever. So Father, you are the one, and we place our confidence in you. You are the resurrected one. You are the holy phoenix, and you invite us to rise with you. And so on this day of days, this day we celebrate your resurrection, Father, our hearts soar with you. And we recognize that there is coming a day when you will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And so we thank you for these reminders, from these wonderful words from Romans 8 this morning, as you draw us together, and as we go out into these coming days with that resurrected confidence, this new life that is ours in you. What joy is ours? So Father, our lives are fragile, but our life in you is eternal. And we give you praise for that. And we bless you for this beautiful day and this beautiful truth that you've imparted to us today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, guys. Blessings to you on your restricted Sunday. I'm really sorry, but this turkey is calling my name, man. It is so good.
So, don't talk about Sue like that.
No, she talks about me like that, but that's okay. She loves me.
All right,
guys. God bless you. Bye-bye. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you next week.
All right. We look forward to it.
Take care, all.
Bye.
Liz.
Love you guys.
Bye, all. Thank you, Hope. Liz, is there, oh, here we go. Anyway, I guess I'm leaving.
You on for dinner now?
Bye, Ellen and Cherry.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye.
All right, I'm saying goodbye. Love y'all.
All right.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you so much for the prayer, Dawn.
You're welcome.
Bye.